الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As opposed to continuing our tradition of taking a few passages of the surahs of Juz'amma, today inshallah ta'ala we'll discuss some of the rulings and the etiquettes of Salatul Eid, inshallah ta'ala. For Salatul Eid, as we know, will be the salah that will take place, inshallah ta'ala, on Wednesday morning in this masjid at 8 o'clock, inshallah ta'ala. Some of you may be praying this salah elsewhere, maybe in the open fields, in the parks, in centers, or in masajid. However, every single one of us will be following the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba in performing this salah. So what are his etiquettes, what are his rulings, and how can a Muslim benefit the most in establishing the sunan, the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this prayer and with regards to this day? The first we should know, O brother or sister in Islam, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna likulli qawmin, indeed for every single nation, they have a Eid, wahada Eiduna, and our Eid is this Eid. Every single nation has their own days of celebration, and our celebration is this celebration. In another hadith reported in the Sunan Abu Dawood, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu an, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered into Medina, and he found the people of Medina playing and joking and celebrating certain days. So he asked them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what they were doing. And they said, كُنَّا نَلْعَبْ فِيهِمَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, we used to play, or we used to celebrate, or we used to enjoy these days in jahiliyyah, in our ignorant times. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكُمْ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced these days that you were celebrating with two days that are much better. يَوْمُ الْأَضْحَى وَيَوْمُ الْفِطَرِ, the day of Adha, the Eid of Adha, and the Eid of Fitr. Therefore, the celebration of the Muslims, the festivals of the Muslims, are these two days, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. And the scholars of Islam, they say, it will be not something very amazing about these two Eids, is that both of these two Eids, they take place directly after magnificent Ibadat. Eid al-Fitr takes place after 30 days or 29 days of fasting in the month of Ramadan. And Eid al-Adha takes place during the days of Hajj, magnificent Ibadat. So they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants mankind to understand that celebration is attached to Ibadah. Celebration is attached to Ibadah. We celebrate the fact that we've completed Ramadan. We are able to fast in Ramadan. We are able to stand up in Ramadan, make dua in Ramadan. We celebrate the fact that we're able to complete the days of Hajj. Eid al-Adha takes place on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, directly after the day of Arafah. And the day of Arafah is the day of Hajj, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. And we also find this notion on the day of Eid. For on the day of Eid, we have the Salah. And the Salah, according to the view of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, as well as the view favored by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, is fardul ayn, is compulsory upon every believing servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's compulsory upon every believing male servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, they held the opinion that it's sunnah al-mu'akkidah. It's an extremely emphasized and important sunnah. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he held the view that it was fardul kifaya. Fardul kifaya meaning that if certain groups of Muslims establish and carry out this salah, then the obligation is lifted upon the entire ummah. However, what seems to be correct in Allah Jalla wa Anhu's best is the view favored by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, the view of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. That is, it's actually compulsory upon all of the male servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the statement of Allah, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصَلِّ, in an imperative commanding form, implying, as the scholars of Usul will tell us, that an imperative command form in the Quran only indicates something being obligatory. Thus, فَصَلِّ, pray, يَرَبِّكَ, to your Lord, وَنْحَرْ, and then sacrifice. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions, فَصَلِّ is a command for Eid, and وَنْحَرْ is a command to sacrifice for Eid al-Adha. Thus, Wallahu ta'ala alam, seems to be correct, that it's compulsory upon all of the male servants of Allah jalla wa'ala to establish and to perform Salatul Eid. With regards to the female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is extremely encouraged and preferred for them to perform the Salatul Eid. Even for those who are very close to getting married, as in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a hadith reported in Bukhari from Hafsa, she explains that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them used to prevent those that became around the age, the female servants of Allah who became around the age of getting married, they used to prevent them from leaving their homes and prevent them from entering the masjid or performing Salatul Eid. Until they came across some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or people that knew the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they inquired and they asked them regarding this particular action of prohibiting women, those that are, again, close to the age of getting married. Because the tradition and the culture of the Arabs then were those who were about to get married, they would look after their honor and preserve and protect them and not allow them to leave the home, as opposed to today's day and age. So this question and this discussion happened with some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or those that participated or lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She met a woman whose husband took part in 12 battles with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this woman, her sister, was married to this man, this Sahabi, who participated in this battle for 6 of these battles. So this woman tells Hafsa, she says to her, that my sister told me that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to treat the wounded, the women, and they would go out of their home and look after the mujahideen, and they would be the nurses in the battles. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the Eid prayer and what they should do at that particular salah, especially for the women that didn't have a veil. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded those who did have a veil to share their veils and to pass it around, so that women could cover themselves and then participate in the great reward of the Eid salah. In fact, when Atiyyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she came, she was asked, radiallahu ta'ala anha, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you hear anything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying anything about the women for Eid? And she said, may my father be sacrificed for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell us, he would urge the female servants of Allah jalla wa ala, the unmarried young virgins, the mature girls, and even those that were screening, and even those that were on their menses, to leave their homes and participate in the Eid prayer. Some of the women, they were surprised by this statement of Umm Atiyah. So they said to her, even the woman on her haid, are you sure about this? And then she responded by saying, doesn't the woman on her haid, doesn't she come and worship Allah on the days of Arafah? And what about the days of Eid? So it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the female servants of Allah to leave their homes, even those who are on their haid, to participate in the Eid prayer. But Atiyyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, she did conclude by saying, but as for those who are on their haid, and they were told to keep away from the musalla area. They were told to keep away from the musalla area. So they would sit and listen to the khutbah, and they would gather in a particular area for Eid where the men and women would pray, but they would stay away from the prayer area itself. Wallahu ta'ala alam. However, a condition for their presence on the day of Eid, as Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, he reports. And he also reports a statement of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, says, who used to say that he should dislike women that would come for the Eid prayer if they used to wear clothes that would be enticing for the men, or they would beautify themselves, or they would wear perfume, or something similar to this. In fact, the statements of the scholars of the past, when they were saying they would dislike, أَنَّهُ كَرِهَ الْيَوْمِ الْخُرُوجِ النِّسَاءِ, the statement كَرِهَ in the time of the Salaf used to actually mean to forbid. So Sufyan al-Thawri, amongst many of the scholars of Islam, they used to prohibit the women to leave their homes and perform Eid prayer if they were dressed in a manner that would adorn themselves or entice men in any way, shape or form. In fact, they bring the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And they say that this statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was said for women when they were going for Eid. Where she says, radiallahu ta'ala anha, لو رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was to see ما أحدث النساء, if she was to see what the women are doing now, and how they are behaving, and what they are wearing, he would have prohibited them from coming and performing salah. And thus the sunnah for the female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that if they are going to come for Eid, which is the sunnah, a strongly recommended, encouraged sunnah, then they should be careful with what they wear and how they look and what they adorn themselves with, etc., etc. This is ahkam pertaining to the Eid salah in itself. There are many etiquettes that the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are encouraged to do on the day of Eid. The first of them is to take a bath for both the male and the female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the early morning before a person leaves for Salatul Eid. This was the sunnah of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. كان يغتسل يوم الفطر قبل أن يغدو إلى المصلى. He would bathe himself and wash himself just before he would leave for the Musalla area. Hadith reported in Al-Muwatta. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, because they would attribute this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was to have a bath just after Fajr, but just before leaving towards the masjid, wallahu ta'ala alim. The second sunnah is to eat before Eid al-Fitr, and to eat, if a person can, an odd number of plates. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغدو يوم الفطر حتى يأكل تمرات ويأكلهن وترا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not leave for the Eid prayer until he would have eaten some dates, and he would make sure he would eat an odd number of dates. Hadith reported in Al-Bukhari. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to do this. And the reason why the scholars of Islam explain that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this is to show everybody that this is no longer a day of fasting. This is a day of celebration. This is a day of eating and drinking. So he would begin his day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after bathing, to eat an odd number of dates, wallahu a'lam. The third etiquette on the day of Eid is to make takbir. The takbir has been narrated to us in many different versions. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. There are many different versions of this takbir. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba would follow the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather the encouragement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make takbir on the day of Eid. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That when you complete your iddah, when you complete the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for you to fast, وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ, then you glorify Allah, you make takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has guided you for. The scholars of Islam, they differ regarding when this takbir starts. And what seems to be correct, as Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, is that the takbir for Eid begins at the Maghrib of the night before Eid. So the Maghrib of the night before Eid is tomorrow Maghrib. He says, as soon as this Maghrib appears, and we know it's the first night of Shawwal, because the nights come before the day, then this is, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, when it's sunnah to make a takbir. The scholars of Islam did differ in this regard, however. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala used to hold the opinion that it's better to make takbir in the morning hours, directly after Fajr, and use Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an to suggest and to prove this. However, Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings many ayat, or many rather, statements from Ahl al-Qur'an, who understand, who speak about this ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَيْتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ. And he says, وَلَيْتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ is when you've completed Ramadan. And the completion of Ramadan is at that point of Maghrib. And he says, I spoke to many people from Ahl al-Qur'an, and all of them have said to me, this is what it means. And all of them have said to me, this is when we begin the takbir. So he says, رحمه ta'ala, he says, فَإِذَا رَأَوْا هِلَالَ الشَّوَّالِ أَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ يُكَبِّرَ النَّاسِ جَمَاعَةً وَفُرَادًا وَفِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَفِي الْأَسْوَاقِ وَالطُّرُقِ وَالْمَنَازِلِ الْمُسَافِرِينَ وَالْمُقِيمِينَ وَفِي كُلِّ حَالٍ. He says, the moment that a person sees the moon or the crescent for Shawwal, because I prefer that the person begins to make takbir in jama'ah, together, or by himself, when he's a traveler, or when he's a resident, at home, in the marketplaces, on the streets. This is the sunnah, he says, of many of the Sahaba and many of the people that came before him. He narrates from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and Urwa ibn Zubair, and Abi Salama, and Abi Bakr, and many others, that they all used to do this directly at the moment of Maghrib. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Another sunnah, or another tradition or etiquette of the day of Eid, is to congratulate people for reaching and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, and for completing the month of Ramadan. Jubair ibn Nufayr, he used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions, they used to gather together and they used to wish one another that all of their actions were accepted in the month of Ramadan. So there's no harm in congratulating people. In fact, it's an etiquette and a tradition of the Sahaba. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Another etiquette of the day of Eid is to beautify a person's self. In their homes, amongst their relatives, amongst their family members, for the female servants of Allah. But as for the male servants of Allah Jalla wa'ala, to beautify themselves and to wear their greatest and best garments, as well as perfuming themselves for the masjid and for the congregation of Eid. This was the sunnah of not only the Sahaba, but the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, he used to wear the most expensive thobe that he used to be able to afford on the day of Eid. And the Sahaba will follow this example. If a person is able to purchase something expensive or something beautiful on the day of Eid, let him do so and let him know this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And finally, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, from the sunnah, the etiquette of Eid, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu in Bukhari, when he would walk towards Eid, he would take one route towards the masjid or the musalla where he used to perform, and he would walk another route back towards his home. From this we learn two etiquettes. Sa'id ibn Jubair, he mentions that the etiquettes of Eid, he says, are three: to have ghusl, to eat dates, and to walk one way and to come back another way. And he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, that is specific, if a person is able to walk to the masjid or to walk to the musalla, this is the greatest sunnah. For the Sahaba and those who were living after the Sahaba, whenever they would walk, whenever they would perform their Eid prayer, even though it was in a musalla, even though they would normally travel by a form of a horse or a camel, a different form of transport, at that particular time, for the days of Eid, they would ensure they would walk towards the musalla or walk towards the masjid. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the sunnah of Eid is to walk towards the masjid. That's number one, if a person is able to do so. And to glorify Allah, as Ibn Umar used to do, by making takbir. He also says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the sunnah, when returning back home, is to take a different route entirely. To take a different route entirely. And some of the scholars of Islam, they say, the reason for this is that we have different avenues and different pathways and different trees and different types of roads that will testify for the servant of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah that he performed the Eid prayer. Wallahu ta'ala alim. These are some of the etiquettes of the days of Eid. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our Ramadan. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our reading of Al-Quran. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasts, to accept our stands, to accept our prayers, to accept our du'as, and to enable us to be of those whose necks are free from the hellfire in this month. Ameen. Wa barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.